Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning's reading presents a comforting, loving image of a dear vine, which, while not appearing impressive, bears much fruit and the sweetest juice. Jesus describes himself as that true vine. Those believing in him and his word are the branches. In the Old Testament, Israel was also called a vine. Israel was a noble vine, a vine brought out of Egypt. But that tree only bore bad fruit, wild grapes. In short, Israel was only an imperfect foreshadowing of what was to be found in Christ. Jesus is what God called Israel to be, but in fact, what Israel had never become. In Jesus, a new Israel, a new vine emerges, and those who believe in him, the branches draw their spiritual life from him alone. During the season of Epiphany, we are reminded that in the great vineyard of the world, Jesus is the true vine planted here by the Heavenly Father to give life to the world. The Father is the concerned gardener who always pursues the growth of the vine, who always notes the vine's condition. And only in that vine which the Father planted is life given and light manifested. Now, we don't know whether the actual words of this text were spoken in the upper room or on the way to Gethsemane. However, the fruit and vine imagery has very strong connections to the Paschal meal, or to a vine growing in a courtyard. While Jesus beautifully describes the life of flourishing branches coming forth directly from the vine, he also speaks very painfully of dead branches and the pruning process that takes place in life as well. In this description, every suffering that the vine and the branches encounter is nothing but the loving care of the vintner. Martin Luther, the beloved church father who we remember on this day of his death, defined this theology of the cross, this pruning, this living by dying, perhaps better than anyone before him or after. He states, "The Father wants us to learn this, that we regard the troubles and suffering of the Christian much differently than the way we ourselves feel it and as it seems to the world. It is not a sign of wrath and punishment, but of grace and fatherly love." As we reflect on the Reformer's life, look at all the troubles, all the trials and pains he endured. His poor father Hans was furiously ashamed of him for not becoming a lawyer and pursuing a more comfortable life. During his days in the black cloister, he went days without eating and faced the harsh elements of the weather. Yet far worse were the tortures of his conscience, always wondering if he was at peace with God, if he could please God, and if his sins were forgiven. Luther faced tentatio throughout his life, but the bulk of his anxiety, his Anfechtung, as the German would state, especially early in life, was due to the sense that he was utterly and eternally lost. Yet it was precisely through this suffering anxiety that Luther was pruned by the Father, in order that we should receive such wonderful and beautiful fruit, the teaching of justification by faith alone through Jesus Christ. In his suffering, Luther was undaunted because he grew to see the Father's hand in all of it. And he clung to the vine, Jesus Christ. Think about the troubles Luther faced before Charles V at the Diet of Worms in 1521. He knew his head could have been lopped off at any time. He was banned by the empire and excommunicated by the church. He was granted 21 days of safe conduct, but after that he was free game for anyone to devour. However, we know he was graciously kidnapped and taken to Wartburg. Yet Luther would say all of this was his pruning, to get the most and best out of a vine and its branches, it's necessary to hack at the vine, hoe at the roots, and cut off the fruitless branches. And although the shearing is painful and annoying, it is good and necessary. But that is much easier said than done, is it not? And Luther very vividly describes that dialogue between the vine and the branches and the gardener. And he describes it this way, beginning with the vine and branches. "Hey, what are you doing? Now I must be ruined and shrivel up because you whacked me to pieces so that I must stand in the earth naked and dry. You wouldn't do what you are doing to me to any tree or plant." The gardener responds, "You are a fool and don't understand. For even if I snap off an unnecessary branch, when it is taken away from you, it is for the best. But beyond such trimming, the gardener proceeds to feed the plant by throwing dung at the root. And this is how the branch responds to this. What are you doing that for? Isn't it enough that you cut me and hack me up? Must I also suffer you to soil my tender branches so scandalously with the stuff that no one can even stand in the stable?" In suffering, branches are pruned and tested for what they really are. While true branches accept pruning as good and purifying, false branches never do. Pruning is only terrible and threatening. At times, we are all false branches by nature. We stubbornly refuse God's pruning of our sinful flesh. We want the praise as the best Christians and to be hailed as the best pastor. We think we contribute so much more than others, but there is really nothing behind it except only lazy dead wood without true sap and life. And like wild runners from a vine, our hypocritical sap-guzzling side must die. If we resist God's pruning, Christ's word does not remain in us. and we as pastors or future pastors cannot confess it correctly or live rightly. When there is no master, when there is no vine, there is no life. While many come out of the vine, some do not remain in it. They are the hardened, calloused branches because they have no sap and they're completely dried out. They do not bend, they only break. And with the scripture is filled with them. We see them in the impenitent unbelief of Pharaoh, King Saul, Judas Iscariot, Caiaphas, and King Herod. To sever one's connection with Christ is to have no strength, no fruit, and no life. And as long as we bear the sinful flesh, the Father allows suffering and burdens to come for our good. In order that our sinful flesh is checked and that we may bear more fruit. As Hebrews 12 puts it, the Lord disciplines those He loves. The Father's work is often painful and negative. He cuts, He prunes, and He dungs us. When some of you entered the seminary to study, you never thought you would face what you do now. Your family and friends stumble at the thought of your coming to Fort Wayne. They don't understand why you left what you did to come here. And besides that, right now at the end of the ninth week, the strain of the academic load presses you with final tests and papers. And as you pursue your studies, marital pressures surge as time constraints increase. You are anxious and worried about finances. Your house is not sold or it is taken out from under your feet. In the last few weeks within our community, the devil has knocked on our door with illness, sudden death, and serious accidents of either family members or fellow seminarians at the seemingly worst time. When you are threatened on every side, as Dr. Just pointed out yesterday, you're tempted to throw in the towel. Yet it is through all of these things that positive fruits increase in us, because these circumstances drive us to the root. They drive us to the vine, Jesus Christ. It is through such things that God shapes and forms us, not only as Christians, but especially as pastors. Formation and growth only comes through a cross, through hoeing and pruning and, yes, even dunging. Yet quite unlike false branches, true branches after pruning remain more dependent upon Christ and as a result bear more powerful fruit. You cannot judge true branches by how they appear, by how thick they are or how big they are. Often a dry and weak branch can bear beautiful grapes. If anyone were to study Luther early in his life, one would be tempted to think that he was not too impressive. Yet look today at the fruit he bore. Look at what Christ did through Luther. His true confession of Christ's redeeming power and forgiveness, apart from works, justification by faith alone, is the hallmark of our faith and teaching. Luther, as a true branch, was not self-centered and independent. He was not unwilling to draw strength from Jesus. He was not self-sufficient, but submissive through his trials, realizing that it was no longer he who lived, but Christ who lived in him. As true branches who abide in Christ, we also cling to his word. That's why we, in Luther's hymn today, we prayed, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. To cling to Christ is everything. That's why Jesus uses the personal pronouns I and me 23 times in these 11 verses to emphatically state that only he is the true vine. Only he is the source of life. As he says one chapter earlier, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And now, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's exclusive. All with Christ or nothing. The Word and Christ are incarnated in each other. By the Word we are led to Christ. We are made clean, forgiven, and justified. This word, which faith grasps in the heart, makes us clean and pure. And Jesus assures you today of that forgiveness when he says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. When Jesus Christ was planted in the world by the Father to pay for our sins and reconcile us to the Father, he willingly faced suffering and death on the tree of the cross. And because of that bodily sacrifice, we are now acceptable to God the Father. As living branches, we are the limbs of Christ's body who share in the life of the vine. We were once wild and dead branches, but we have been engrafted into the vine, Jesus Christ, through holy baptism, and we are given life. And that old branch in us still dies every day through the Father's pruning, so that a renewed branch still arises each day out of those waters, that we might live before God in purity forever. And our life is also sustained by the visible word, the Lord's Supper. Since the context of Passover and Christ's New Testament is so plain, we understand that to remain in Christ, to be connected to the vine, to receive his sap, includes our reception of his body and blood for our salvation. The theology of the cross is the Christian life. Pruning away the false branches is the painful part of life. But there is another part of life that is comforting and far better. Yes, each day we will see and find sin in our lives because in our flesh dwells no good thing. But by faith, the promises of God in Christ announced to you that by virtue of Christ's suffering and death, he has atoned for all your sins. As true branches who remain in the vine today, Jesus continues to lovingly invite you to remain in him. Just as branches bear fruit when they live by the sap of the vine, so we bear fruit, confessing Christ to the world as we live on the sap of Christ's word and sacraments. Although we face adverse trials and fatherly pruning, as the good Dr. Luther did, God will use you to bear much fruit in God's vineyard. Amen.